Yeah, hi. This is Lucas Barfield, and you're tuned into the Cannabis Corner right here on KTAH in Tacoma. And this is a little show that we have that we just kind of go over cannabis news and what's going on in the local area with cannabis, also known as marijuana, and on a national level, just kind of getting the word out there and information. It's that time of the year. If you're growing outside, your plant should be flowering right around about 2 weeks. We estimate that things get to flowering in Washington around August 15th, so 56 days or 8 weeks from there. The beginning of October, things should be good to go as far as cutting everything down, so keep an eye on that. Sure, everybody who's out there growing already knows that, but cannabis plant is a annual plant that just grows from the spring to the fall and then flowers. The buds that you smoke are flowers that come out in August or late summer and then are pollinated by the males, and then the flowers will fall off with a lot of seeds and produce more cannabis plants. But humans have interrupted that cycle and started growing it for themselves, so a lot of plants aren't pollinated and they just come out with flowers with no seeds in them, and then people take those and use those as medicine and of course sell them as recreational stores. So that's how that works. So this time of year is pretty much go time for outdoor cannabis growers. So keep an eye out for that. And if you're not growing cannabis outside, maybe look into it. If you are an MMJ patient and you have a little space, maybe it would be something to look into. Lots of information out there on that. So let's go over some headlines real quick, and we will move on to our topic of the day, which is just the MMJ laws here in Washington, or the marijuana laws here in Washington in general. And I forgot to mention, you can follow us on Twitter at MJ is medicine. So MJISMEDICINE. So the first up for our news is record numbers of Americans have tried cannabis. Now, this is something we all kind of know because we've seen it in our neighborhoods and we've seen it in the people we know. A lot of people, marijuana or cannabis still is a taboo in our culture, but more and more people are using it. And that's bared out in the statistics, because in 1969, when the Gallup first started doing this poll, only 2% of Americans said that they had used marijuana at that time. Now, we don't know what's going on with that poll, because in 1969, I'm guessing a lot of people who have maybe tried marijuana would admit it to it because of the laws. And the same with in 1999, 34% of people had said they had used marijuana. And you have to think that a lot of people not going to admit to that on a poll just because it's illegal. So the number probably is higher than that. But the statistics kind of stay the same between the 80s and the 90s. That 34% kind of goes up and down but doesn't really change at all. Until now, in the beginning at the 2000s, it kind of stayed the same. And now that 34% has jumped up to 45%. And I'm guessing the number, like I was saying, is probably higher than that, because cannabis or marijuana still is illegal in a lot of different places, so a lot of people won't admit to it. It's a taboo, so a pollster calls you up and says, hey, do you smoke marijuana? A lot of people, I'm guessing, is going to say no. So that's what's going on with that, and there's a lot of reasons why. There's more access, more people are trying it. There's more MMJ states out there altogether in general, so more people can get the cannabis that they're needing for their medical uses and recreational. Florida just passed medical marijuana, so it's going to start spreading down in there in the South, so more and more people are trying it. There's more MMJ states, and now there's 8 states that have legal marijuana. And a lot of people are going on like cruises and stuff and tourist destinations for marijuana. So there's a lot of, I had a family member just went on a cruise up to Alaska, and you just get off the cruise ship and right around in there in that area is a recreational marijuana store. Same here in Seattle, is recreational marijuana stores all down by where the cruise ships come through. So a lot of people are kind of just, oh, okay, I'll try this. So the number is just surely to go up and up and up. So the next step on our story, speaking of Alaska, is in Alaska they are starting a bill. They have some plans to start on-site consumption clubs. Now, that's sort of big deal because even here in Washington, we don't have consumption clubs. So in Alaska, they're just issuing some draft rules, and they should be voting on this on their cannabis endorsement committee in September. But what it would say is that you have to have, it have to be like a separate area that's away from the main store, behind a locked door, and maybe, or even in another building that would still be in a locked door. You have to have, and then you have to be able to smoke cigarettes on the premises, and you have to have a ventilation fan in the area where you're smoking the cannabis. Now, what's kind of weird about this is they're not going to allow concentrates. So they're not going to allow you to use, they're not going to allow you to use the concentrates indoors, which is strange because concentrates give off the least amount of smoke. That's kind of why a lot of people use them. So you can, and so you can only buy on premises one gram of flower and 10 milligram edibles. So, which is pretty strong for an edible. And so that's just, it's one of these cannabis laws that just, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. I mean, it looks good and you're saying, oh, okay, great. But another thing is you can't bring your own cannabis on the premises. So you can just go there and buy it, which some people might want to do, but a lot of people are going to want to bring what they have from home or perhaps another store they bought it at. So we have another cannabis regulations that are just, I mean, they seem okay. Like my family member that went up to Alaska, their system up there is just sort of not coming together so well. So this seems good, but we'll have to see how it plays out. And the local citizens can say, hey, we want to have these or we don't want to have these. And it's up to the local government to set any kind of standards, and then they would have to enforce that as well. Which, if you've ever been to Alaska, I've been up there one time, it's pretty remote, so I'm guessing a lot of stores and places already let people smoke around there. So, like, who's going to come check on it? So our next story kind of goes in a vein that we've talked about a fair amount, is criminal justice and marijuana. And this one is, the NYPD is still arresting people even after the mayor de Blasio supposedly decriminalized marijuana. So they're still arresting tens of thousands of people a year. And there was a study put out by the Legal Aid Society, that's their public defender sort of group, and they said that they're still putting out an average of 20,000 marijuana arrests a year, and most of these arrests are coming from communities of color. There's only, so the white people out of those arrests, only 10% out of those arrests. And so he decriminalized this several years ago, and then over time, there has only been a 3.9% drop. So they're still arresting people like crazy. And so the question is, okay, if marijuana is decriminalized in New York City, then why are people still getting arrested? Because if it's decriminalized, people shouldn't be getting arrested. And what's I don't really like about this is, okay, they're saying you don't get arrested anymore. Which, that's really good. So if you get arrested, you get handcuffed and taken down to the jail, and then you got to go through that whole thing. But they're treating it like a summons. So if you get caught with, it's not decriminalized. So if you get caught with less than 25 grams, which is a fair amount, you get a ticket, like loitering or drinking in public or something. And that's just walking around with it in your pocket. So it just really makes no sense that the police are stopping people and it's decriminalized and then they're giving people summons. Now, if you're out on the street consuming it, then, you know, you're likely to get a ticket. And I frankly support that, just like consuming alcohol in public. Some people don't want to be around the cannabis smoke, so we have to respect them. So let's keep that some designated area or at your home. But the idea that the police can come and take something out of your pocket and then charge you with a crime is just ridiculous. And then on top of that, they've said, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. So that even just adds even more to the ridiculousness of it because of the fact that they said they were going to decriminalize it. How are you going to decriminalize something and still arrest 20,000 people a year? And this is what I've been saying, that the Democratic Party does have a problem with cannabis, and they need to kind of work on that. But that's another topic we can talk about another day. So next up we have, and this is a story that I had put up on my Facebook page, and a lot of people thought this was very popular. I don't use alcohol, so this is something I would not be trying, but it does seem interesting that they have a beer. This is like a fad going on that they're combining beer with cannabis. And so in this case, in Vermont, a brewer by the name of Long Trail is combining with a hemp producer called Loose Leaf. And Loose Leaf makes a CBD honey. And the brewers are taking the honey and putting it in their beer and brewing a just one weekend release. So they're going to just release a small batch of this CBD infused beer in Vermont on Labor Day. So you better go get your plane tickets quick and head on over there. So, but that's something to just kind of look out for here in Washington too, is I don't know if the regulations allow that just yet, but I'm sure it's coming. You can get those in Colorado and possibly here in Washington. So that'd be cannabis infused beer. Which makes total sense because alcohol is one of the things that it will infuse with the cannabinoids in the cannabis plants, as well as lipids or oils or fats. So it wouldn't be that hard to make a cannabis-infused beer. And I'm really surprised that no one's come out with like a cannabis-infused vodka, which that just sounds real dangerous to me. But, you know, some people like to take it to the limit. So that's something to kind of keep out with, is keep an eye out for, is cannabis-infused alcohol. So today we're going to kind of go over, as our topic, the Washington State just laws in general around marijuana. So if you are an MMJ patient, so we'll start with the medical marijuana piece. And just so we don't delve too far back into history and get too far into the, as it were, weeds and talk about all the things that have gone on in the past in medical marijuana. We will just start fresh with what is going on right now. So if you have a condition and your doctor will say you need medical marijuana, you can go to a wide variety, go to the Washington State Department of Health website, and you can find out who will be able to recommend marijuana for you. Now, they can't prescribe it because of federal regulations, but the doctor can say they can recommend. So you can get recommended, and you'll get a sheet of paper, and then at that point you will become what is called a qualifying patient. At that point, you have a certain number of rights. At that point, you can grow 4 plants at your home, so that gives you a license to grow 4 plants per medical cannabis patient at your home, so with no more than 15. So if you had 2 people, you could grow 8. 3 people, you could grow 12. So you can grow up to 15, depending on how many medical marijuana patients you have at your home. You have an affirmative defense, which means you could maybe get arrested, but you could possibly get out of your charges if you could prove that you needed that much cannabis, if you had more. And you have basically the same possession limits as somebody who just the recreational marijuana. So, but I think you can have more. You can buy 3 ounces instead of 1. You can buy 7 grams of concentrate. So it does give you a bit more as far as the purchase limits and everything if you have a medical marijuana qualification. Now, you can take that one step further and get a registration card. And in that case, you have to get registered on the Marijuana Authorization Database, a.k.a. MAD. Now, I don't know who came up with that name with the letters go like that, but it's just we tried to fight against the registry. Medical cannabis activists don't really like it, but it is a way for people to get exclusively, you know, sort of permitted by the state to be able to consume a certain amount of marijuana. I am a registered medical marijuana patient on the database, so I just go ahead and put that out there. It does give you a lot more protection, so you get protection from arrest, you get extra plant limits, you get extra possession limits, and you get, it just makes you a little more legitimate with the state, supposedly. Now, I had to put this out there too, it's a little dangerous because the federal government right now, Jeff Sessions, is asking for some of these medical marijuana records around the country. So you could be putting yourself in danger by getting on this registry. So that's something that you just need to think about. But that's how it works here in Washington State. So you're either a qualified patient or you're registered on the medical marijuana authorization database. So you're basically two types of patients. Now, and you can go to the different stores who, most of them in Tacoma have what's called a medical marijuana consultant there. So every store has to have one of those. So you can go in and talk to them about what you need and how to take it and all that good stuff. And they're always very helpful in the stores. So that's how medical cannabis works. And so I would encourage you, if you're interested, go to the Department of Health website. Look into getting registered. It's basically just a license to grow and possess more and have a little bit more protection from arrest and bother from the authorities than you might without the medical marijuana endorsement. Now, next up is the recreational, and that is anybody over 21. You can possess up to 7 grams of concentrate. I think it's 17 grams of edibles and 1 ounce of flower. And that's how much you can possess. The concentrates, this is what the medical marijuana people do. The concentrates, you need to keep everything in the bag, everything in the container that comes in, because it's illegal to make concentrates in Washington State. So the theory is that you want to keep everything in the bag so that if you are bothered by the police or you do interact with the police, that they will see that, okay, this is legal. And that little detail seems a little, I would be interested to see what police actually think about that, to see if they are enforcing something like that, because it just seems a little nitpicky. And a lot of people do take their concentrate from whatever container it is and put it in a different one. So all these little ins and outs of the law here in Washington, people are still fighting to try to make it better. The goal is to sort of treat cannabis like a tomato plant, where it's not this big special thing, where you don't have to go through all this stuff, and it's not, you're not singled out, or there is nothing even having to do with arrest involved around it. So that's sort of the goal of it, but we have to work with what we have right now in Washington State. So we're about to finish up the show with our final segment. And it's a bust. And that's it. So in Canada, you might know that marijuana is legal for recreational use. They're trying to work out the whole system. It's been legal for medical marijuana use for quite a long time. But, of course, in Canada, just like the United States, people try to take advantage of the system. So in this week's It's a Bust, we are featuring Tasty Buds in Nova Scotia. And these guys just went a little over the top. So what they did was they started setting up these medical marijuana stores. And it was actually a cover for selling large amounts of marijuana and large amounts of cocaine. And they were finally, the police raided them. They raided 4 houses, 5 businesses, confiscated all the materials, found a bunch of guns, a bunch of marijuana, and cocaine. And the business, they were just coming in, setting up shop, and it was just like a cover-up operation. And they arrested 10 people and charged 9. And the most interesting thing that I saw in the article, that one of the things the police cited about this bust, and this is just a change, this is just sort of a sign of the times, this is a real good thing, they cited that one of the reasons they needed to get this marijuana off the street is because it wasn't tested, and that you didn't know how, what it, if it was laced with chemicals or pesticides, or if the medical marijuana patients were actually getting hurt. So that is something that you don't really see a lot with the police actually saying, hey, let's get this street off the this stuff off the street for public safety concerns. So that is It's a Bust, and that's the end of the show. Thanks for tuning in. You are tuned into KTAH right here in Tacoma, 101.9 FM. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, Lucas Barfield, you can follow me at MJ Is Medicine. So this is the Cannabis Quarter. See you next time.